This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning on BFM's Morning Run. I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Shazana Mokhtar and Wong Chow Ning. Indonesia is facing the worst COVID crisis in the region. Daily infections beyond 25,000 cases. But they are a country which is 8 times our size, lah.
That is true. I think the latest numbers is actually reaching 30,000, in fact. And to date, there have been over 2 million positive cases, with the death toll surpassing 60,000 deaths. Now, the surge in cases has placed the healthcare system under enormous pressure, with hospitals in some cities reporting a shortage of oxygen supply. And there have been reports of patients dying from a lack of oxygen and hospitals having to turn patients away. This is really reminiscent of what happened in India earlier this year. And it's really devastating to read about this.
Yeah, it also reminds me of actually Brazil. But nonetheless, Indonesia has imposed an 18-day lockdown on the islands of Java and Bali in a bid to stop the spread of the virus, while the government hopes the emergency restrictions will lower cases. There will be a corresponding impact on the livelihood of 78 million informal workers.
It's a huge informal sector. But to get a snapshot of the situation on the ground, we now turn to Resty Woro Yunia, the Indonesian correspondent with the South China Morning Post. Resty, now Indonesia has grappled with these high rates of infection since the start of COVID, but this current surge is at a record level of over 25,000 new cases per day. What's causing the massive spike?
So this all started at the end of Ramadan, where the government at the time has imposed a domestic travel ban, because that's basically when many migrant workers in big cities return to their villages, return to their hometowns to see their families and to celebrate the Hari Raya together. But while the domestic travel ban was in place, around 18 million people still returned to their hometown, so the mobility was pretty much high. And that also added on top of that is also like the existence of Delta variant, which is more transmissible. And Indonesia has also been relying on Chinese vaccine Sinovac, whose efficacy is pretty much lower compared to other vaccines such as AstraZeneca and Pfizer. And that is also one of the reasons why health workers and others who have been fully vaccinated still contracted the virus.
Resty, what is the state of the healthcare facilities in Indonesia? There are headlines of oxygen shortages in hospitals. How is the government addressing this?
So, the reports that you were reading is correct, that we are experiencing the health system is collapsing now. There are shortages of ICU rooms, isolation rooms, and also oxygen cylinders. And people are being treated at the car parks because they couldn't get into the hospitals. Health workers are being overworked. And the oxygen supply is stretching across the archipelago right now. And the government said that they are preparing for the worst case scenario, basically where the coronavirus infections reach up to 50,000 cases per day. Now the cases is like 31,000. And it will... So the government has asked Singapore for help, and also for other countries like China.
Now, Resty, Indonesia began its vaccination rollout program in January, but what we do know is that to date, only 5% of the population is fully vaccinated. So what's holding up this vaccination program?
There were like a high rate of hesitancy to get yourself vaccinated here in Indonesia. And like one of the reasons why people did not believe about the vaccine was because there is a high anti-China sentiment. They see that the Chinese vaccines as second rate compared to Western made vaccines. And the other reason was that, you know, the vaccine rollout has been super slow. There was like a shortage of vaccines at some times, and people in the far-flung areas in other islands beyond Java and Bali, they reported like a long time queue just to get vaccinated.
And has the current spike in cases encouraged more people to get vaccinated, Resty?
People are definitely more eager now because this current wave has been so surreal for many of us. Like, we kept hearing about, you know, loved ones, relatives, and even like famous names who got COVID and then they died because they couldn't get rooms at the hospital. And then at the same time, the government has been putting out message that any vaccines that you can get is better for you because it reduces the severity of COVID if you contracted the coronavirus. So people now have been queuing at a vaccination center to get their hands on Sinovac, which is like the kind of vaccine that we're using right now, and AstraZeneca.
All right, so people are eager to get vaccinated, but what is the vaccine supply situation? Does Indonesia have the supply that it needs to inoculate the full population?
Indonesia needs 423 million of vaccine doses to inoculate the 181.5 million of the population, which is like the number of population age 18 and above. And Indonesia now only has around 104 million doses, and the majority of whom are supplied by Sinovac. So Indonesia still really need you know, as much vaccines as it can get its hands on. And they are now aiming to basically bring in the mRNA vaccines such as Pfizer and Moderna. And we are getting donation from the United States. We are getting it from Japan and also from Australia.
Now, the islands of Java and Bali, we know, have been placed under some form, under lockdown beginning Saturday. Just how strict are the measures being imposed, though?
So it's not strict enough, according to some of the experts that I talked to, because people can still travel long distance trips, but they need to show like a proof of vaccination. They need to show like a negative result of PCR tests. And foreigners can still come into Indonesia as long as they are fully vaccinated. And then workers in the non-essential sectors, they need to work like 100% from home, but workers in critical sector can still work from the offices. And while malls and shopping centers are closed, religious gatherings are banned, and the government still allow weddings for up to 30 attendees. So that is showing like why the government just doesn't implement a proper lockdown now. And the reaction has been mixed because among the upper middle class, they question why the measures came in a little too late. But among the poor, they also basically tell the government that they need to go out, they need to earn a living because they are informal workers. They can put the food on the table if they work that day. So the government has basically told them before the measures being implemented that they will give out another social aid for the poor.
Resti, there had been talk of reopening key tourist destinations like Bali to international visitors by the end of the month. Is this timeline being now impacted?
Yeah, the Bali reopening plan will be postponed, and that is something that is not priority right now, according to Senior Minister Luhut Panjaitan. While a tourism minister said that Bali reopening will be postponed to third quarter this year, but many people say that, you know, that will be postponed further if the peak of this current wave is in September.
All right, Resti, one more question before we let you go. What is public sentiment towards the Jokowi government in light of the current situation?
So the public has expressed their disappointment towards the government, particularly after the senior minister Luhut Panjaitan said that the government did not expect that the cases would surge by June. Even then, the, you know, health experts and epidemiologists have warned the government that if lockdown was not properly implemented, then the cases can reach up to like 100,000 cases per day. So health experts felt that they are being ignored by the government, while, you know, among the public, there's like a sense of disappointment, sense of anger that, you know, that the government basically cares more about the economy than public health.
That was Resty Woro-Yunia, Indonesian correspondent with the South China Morning Post. Now, very distressing. And even you get the sense that even in the midst of this explosion, Indonesia might have even higher numbers than officially forecast, because it is such a disparate archipelago over thousands of islands.
Yeah, close to almost 300 million people, I think 280 million. So it's going to be a challenge for them. I think, you know, we just have to look at India and unfortunately Brazil as examples of what can really, really go wrong.
And the Philippines as well, lest we forget.
Now, of course, it will have an impact on the economy. I think their finance minister has come out to say that they are expecting GDP growth to hit close to 5% in the third quarter. But I think that's rather optimistic. The street is beginning to expect 4%. Like you said, Shaz, earlier on, how many 70 over million are informal workers, right? Day wage earners. This is really going to impact them when there's any lockdown.
And just in terms of what Resty was saying, you know, the people on the ground, because she was providing a feel of on the ground, right? People are saying that the government cares more for business than they do care for the people, which is unfortunate. Stay tuned, BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.